The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
All right, Craig, thank you. We're going to spend the hour with two people I have a lot of respect for. But that doesn't mean that a lot of us aren't concerned and scratching our heads about what happened over St. Patrick's Day weekend, the so-called St. Fratty's Day. Latest stats I've been able to see, 12 arrests, 189 citations. So I guess I'm kind of curious to spend the hour figuring out what happened and what we do as a result of what happened. With that in mind, joining us by phone as she recovers, she got the bug a little bit. We've got the mayor, Erica Stewart, with us. Mayor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, Mayor. We appreciate your time joining us in studio. We welcome back Chief of Police Rick Scott. Chief, nice to see you again.
Good to see you, Dave. Happy to be with you and your visitor and your listeners.
Let me start with the chief. I'd like both of you to answer this, but I'll start with you, Chief, please. What, because you're relatively new, what were your expectations for that weekend? What were you expecting to happen? And talk a little bit about the planning that went in for your department.
That's a great question, Dave. And leading up to St. Fratty's Day, this next occurrence that we had on March 16th, we anticipated this being a larger than normal event. And just to clarify, this event, this get together they call St. Fratty's Day, this is a non-sanctioned event. It's not sanctioned by the city. It's not sanctioned by Cal Poly. This is really essentially an organic event that happens around St. Patrick's Day weekend. So we anticipated a crowd larger than previous years. We upstaffed for that event, and we also changed our operational plan to be more focused on isolated incidents, which we executed this year.
Yeah. Mayor, in terms of the role of the city, what's the job of the city in planning for something like this? Because you knew something was going to happen.
Absolutely. As the chief said, we've been meeting with the university quite a bit, as well as our own staff, and trying to figure out how do we best manage, as we had hoped, the expectations of what would happen. We've been meeting with also some of the neighbors who had been experiencing really negative behavior in the last few years. And the council, you know, felt that the best thing we could do was increase the safety enhancement zone. In the past couple of years, as I'm sure you probably heard Carlin Christensen say, it didn't really matter what weekend we chose. The university, the students would probably party either way. And we unfortunately have seen that happen. And I think at this point, the enhancement zones have happened, but what more can we do is what we're looking at, especially since it's not it's not an event like a college event that the college is putting on, or Mardi Gras is it's Easter weekend, and we're putting on a big event downtown from the city. Neither of those things are happening, and we really didn't want to have to look at like a military state, but this is kind of what it's starting to look like, which is really unfortunate.
Did Chief follow up on that, please, and define what a safety enhancement zone is?
Yeah, so safety enhancement zone, it's a predetermined period of time by ordinance that allows us to conduct routine enforcement for citations such as urinating in public, minor in possession, things like that. The unique thing about the safety enhancement zone, the citation amounts are double. So if you get a ticket during the safety enhancement zone, these typically abut holidays like St. Patrick's Day or Halloween, that ticket could go anywhere from $700 up to $1,000 per incident.
Then allow me this question, because I think this is what's on the mind of a lot of us. And again, Chief, I'll start with you and ask the mayor to respond as well. Why, oh, why was this allowed to happen to begin with? I'm trying to picture this. I know I'm the old guy, but I used to be a college professor. I know my way around a college campus. 7,000 people were allowed to come into a residential neighborhood at like 4 a.m. in the morning. And that was just allowed. What, am I missing something here, Chief?
Yeah, and thank you, Dave. And just to make, this is a great opportunity to make a distinction, because we use terms like allowed and permitted, and that's not what we're dealing with. You're dealing with again, upwards to 7,000 people making a decision to come into a neighborhood, into an intersection, and to gather and have a party, which is essentially what happened. So moving away from terminology like allowing and permitting, we were in a phase where we had to manage the incident because we had no control over who was coming in and when they were coming into our community.
Why could you not just shut it down?
And we did. We had roads that were closed, but a lot of people came in by foot. They came across private property to come into that area. And we've seen, we've had a history of people coming into the streets for a variety of reasons. And so we try to manage that as safely as possible. But again, allowing it and managing it are completely two different approaches.
Mayor, what do you say to that? Why was this allowed to take place?
Yeah, I do agree in the sense of it's not an allowed thing. We weren't allowing something to happen. But I think one of the things that Cal Poly did not do that they did in the past around Halloween or Poly Royal is, you know, there's 8,000 students living on campus. There was no rule that was put in place that said out-of-towners are not allowed. That would be one step that could have helped. You know, in the past, they've done that, and they didn't do it this time. And so we had even more people coming into our community and having, you know, having this party. It's the end of finals. It's the time where people are either stressed out and they're getting ready to do finals, or they are wrapping it all up and leaving and having, you know, having a party. So I think that's something that could have helped from the university side.
Chief, of the 12 arrests, do you know how many were Cal Poly students? Because I don't want to give the impression this is all Cal Poly students.
Yeah, Dave, I don't have the numbers in front of you. What I will say, based on our early numbers, is, you know, looking at arrests and looking at citation volumes as well as field contacts, we saw numbers from a third up to a half of the participants being out of the area. And I think the mayor made a really good point when we talk about where people come from, because when we talk about allowing the event, typically St. Freddy's Day has been going on for a number of years now. And the reason it happens at that location is because there's several fraternity and sorority houses located right there. And they live there. And so I think what we've seen in the past is people come to those locations or people that live there come out into the street. So it's not essentially sealing off the neighborhood. A lot of the people are already there before the event happens.
So, Mayor, what has your communication been with Cal Poly? And then I know you're in a different position because you also work at Cal Poly. But what's your sense from the administration or from student government as to what may happen as a result?
Well, unfortunately, I was out for a bit, so I have a message into the student body president to meet in person now that I'm back in town. in addition, we'd received a lot of input back from the president saying that the Office of Student Rights and Responsibilities will be looking at this you know, very seriously as far as the people they have caught. And, you know, my response back to the president and the president's office was, well, will this actually equal expulsion this time or suspension this time? Because so far it hasn't. And so this is, you know, the more intense the discipline gets, does that finally show the students that this is the university is taking this seriously? That these are questions that I'm, you know, looking forward to seeing the answers of after OSRR is done with their investigations.
And Chief, as Chief of Police, do you have any direct contact with Cal Poly? Do you have a voice in this with the university?
I do, Dave, and the President Armstrong has already reached out to the city. He's already reached out to the police department and our city manager. We've already begun those conversations together as a team. What I'm happy to report is moving forward, we're having these collective conversations on what to do next and how do we do this differently. And this isn't a slow PD conversation. This is a Cal Poly conversation. This is a city of slow conversation.
And I want to I want to follow up on that, but let me follow up on this first. I believe in the newspaper, Chief, it said you had triple the force on duty. Who's paying for that?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of that cost is borne by our taxpayers. And so we don't have standing budgets to fund these kind of operations. We just have to be prepared and we have to bring to bear what resources we have. Unfortunately, when a lot of that's done on overtime and that costs time and a half, I will say that we worked in very close partnership with California Alcohol Beverage Control. We had a lot of their staff members here that augmented our staffing, as well as utilizing grant funding offered by the state. So we're looking at costs anywhere from $45,000 to $50,000 minimum.
Mayor, should Cal Poly bear any of the costs since a lot of their students are involved?
I mean, I would like to see that happen. As we talk about mutual aid, this is something that obviously in law enforcement happens all the time. But as far as seeing a disproportionate amount of mutual aid be paid for by Cal Poly, that would be amazing. That's not part of an actual contract. So I think that'll be interesting to see how we make that happen on the back end.
All right, we got plenty to discuss here. We have the mayor of San Luis Obispo, Erica Stewart, joining us, also the chief of police, Rick Scott, talking about what happened in St. Patrick's Day weekend here. And when we come back, let's figure out a way to make sure it doesn't happen again. We're live, we're local. This is the Dave Congleton Show, where we are in our conversation with our mayor and our police chief about our community. After news at the bottom of the hour, we'll welcome your phone calls and read some of your text messages as we explore what happened on St. Patrick's Day. Chief, I come back to you. After this event, you went to the city council and you said the message is going to be, don't come. I agree, but my question to you, sir, is shouldn't you have said that in February? If you had to do it over again, would you send the message earlier?
You know, one of the things that we did leading up to this event, I think the mayor had touched on this briefly, we had a very, very robust media campaign. We also met with student body earlier this year. And so we reached out as far as we could out into the community, communicating that message that this is not an event that's sanctioned. We don't want people here doing the things that we saw, especially this last time, and that there would be significant consequences if people break the rules. And so I will say just again that we had, 189 citations. We don't know if that's effective yet. This is the most expensive citation we've written, and this is the most citations we have ever issued with this event. So the question will be, will people come back? Our message right now is don't.
What about the messaging, Mayor?
I think the more that the communication goes out further, when the messaging goes out to the students that came, those students will continue to share, oh, wow, that really was expensive, or we really can't have someone come into our dorm next year, or whatever it may be. That's what's going to be helpful is, students telling students. That's what really makes the difference. And I look at people have been referring to Poly Royal. I was here as a 17-year-old looking at Cal Poly as my fall school in 1990 when Poly Royal went down. And, after that, it was so clear, do not have anyone else come. It's similar to Halloween in IV. The fines will be high. Do not come. As the students tell each other, that is what is really the most effective.
Right. But nothing says stay away like a few arrests and convictions and fines, Chief.
Correct. And one of the things we've already seen different, even though we're just less than a month away from this event, we've already seen student body coming out against this event. We've already seen the narrative shift to, we don't want people coming to our community. The people that came to this event did not and do not share the values of our community, which was evident.
But was the student body people involved in the Friday weekend? Were they partying?
Well, there was, of course, a large volume of students that were there.
Well, in terms of the student body officers.
Well, even the interviews I've seen in the media, we're talking students that were pretty disgusted by what happened, not only in our community, but to their own living quarters. And they said enough is enough. And that's we have not seen that before related to this event.
Mayor, I remind you, after the roof incident, I think it was 2016, Councilwoman Marks came up with the proposal that we limit people on the roof. I'm sorry that it's come to this and that went down. Is it time to revisit that issue?
You're not allowed to have that many people on a roof anyway, so I guess that seems like an odd question. Sorry, can you help me a little bit understand what you're asking?
Well, Jan Marks introduced a motion 2014 that would limit the amount of people who would be allowed on the roof, and she couldn't get the votes to support her. And I'm just curious as to whether or not it's time for city council to put in some kind of ordinance that even for a specific weekend. On this weekend, no more than five people. Because here's what I remember. Andy Pease was against it because she said that she and her family like to stand on their roof during 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Chief?
Yeah, I think that it's odd. That in itself, just I would have to look at more and look more into that. It just seems like that on its own is an odd ordinance. So we have a lot of odd ordinances within our city, yes, for sure. And I think it goes back to what we're really dealing with is enforcement. You can have as many rules as you want, but how do people know about the rules and how do they follow them? What happens when they don't follow them? I mean, I think that's really more of the issue. There are so many municipal codes that we have. There are so many state laws that are here, and yet people still don't follow them all. So, excuse me, what I really think is that we have to figure out how to really help people know what are the rules and what happens if you don't follow them.
Chief, what could the city do to help you do your job?
Yeah, and I think, you know, especially when we look at the roof, people gathering on the roof, and I've received the same questions already, and you know, in law, we have to be creative, and we are creative. And so what we have done, and why we have not come back to council specifically for increasing an ordinance around this, is we utilize our unruly gathering. And in our unruly gathering ordinance, it specifically talks about people on rooftops and things like that. So in this event in particular, we went to that house when people got on the roof and went down the path of an unruly gathering. The homeowner was very cooperative and assisted in getting everybody off that roof as quickly as possible.
And what about what were they on, telephone poles? What were these guys doing?
So no telephone poles this year. We worked with PG&E since last year. You know, we saw the videos of people on the poles last year. We worked with PG&E, who's a great partner. We actually safeguarded those poles. We didn't have people climbing to the top of the poles, although they attempted. The one individual that you see a couple pictures of, he actually got to the power line from the house rooftop. And so, you know, should have never been up there to begin with.
I guess the question should have asked earlier, Mayor, are you surprised by what happened?
I'm surprised by the sheer quantity, I have to say. I figured there would be thousands because that is what we've been seeing. And we've seen that this was going to be a year that people were trying to have a big party. But as far as the 6,000 to 7,000, that was actually quite surprising to me.
Chief, you surprised? Because you're talking about all the planning that you were doing.
Yeah, and we knew, I think going into this based on the chatter, it was going to be bigger. Surprising in how much bigger.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mayor, you wanted to mention mutual aid.
Well, I wanted the chief to be able to explain a little bit about mutual aid. I feel like one of the things that we have is a great staff and a great team at the city, but they can't be expected to manage this large of an unruly gathering, as you can say, on their own. And so one of the things that's been really helpful is other law enforcement agencies that do come out and help out our team. So I just, Chief, if you want to talk about maybe the Cal Poly Police or anyone else that has come out and helped during that day, I think it might be helpful.
And let me follow up on that, because we had somebody call into the show last week and they claimed that you didn't ask for help, Chief.
Yeah, and thank you for the opportunity to make that distinction, because it's important for, I think, the listeners to know that all the law enforcement in this county and beyond have a great working relationship. We help each other because we have to. That's good service to our community. For this event in particular, we had all the resources from Cal Poly PD dedicated to this with us, arm in arm, in the event. We had California CMC, California Men's Colony. Their staff was out here. They're very well trained. We also had the critical response team for the CSU system. That's a team of 30, 40 highly specialized officers that do field force that were here with us. We had the alcohol beverage control that were here with us. So many, many departments stepped up.
But was it enough?
You know, looking at the sheer volumes, had that event taken a violent turn, we would be very hard-pressed to bring that under control.
Yeah,
I will say we were able to end the event 2 hours earlier than last year. So the plan that we had in place was effective. Had it gotten any worse, I can't guarantee you the same.
So Chief, looking back, if you had to do it over again, would you do anything differently?
Of course. I mean, you can't have an event like this and not have lessons learned. So looking ahead, we're going to focus on prevention. We now have everybody at the table. Everybody is part of the conversation. Including the students. We're going to continue to spread that message. This, without the student buy-in on this, and they don't come out and say this is not the place to be, it will still be the place to be. We have to have the students denounce this and possibly even an alternative.
Hmm. Mayor, I got a minute. What would you do differently? What would the city do differently?
I mean, I think what a chief is saying is, you know, when we really talk about how do we get the students involved earlier on, that is really the key. And I feel like this year, this student body president was actually very engaged, and I'm hoping that as they're going into this next election, that the next winner will be engaged as well, because we really have to do this together.
Mm. You're nodding your head, Chief.
Agreed. And it has to come within the student body. And not only, student body official leaders, but also the unofficial leaders. And our Greek organizations have to be supported.
Absolutely.
I want to explore that, too, with our guests. But first, let's check in with California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Craig updates us with time saver traffic and weather together. And we'll continue our conversation with Mayor Stewart and Chief Scott and welcome your thoughts as well. All that straight ahead. You're listening to Hometown Radio. All right, Craig, thank you. Give me just 1 second here. There we go. We're joined by the Chief of Police, Rick Scott. The Mayor, Erica Stewart, is here. We're looking back on what happened on St. Patrick's Day. If you want in on the conversation, feel free to join us. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. We should make it clear that neither the city nor the SLO PD, you couldn't control the incidents on campus, Chief.
Correct. Our jurisdiction does not extend into campus.
But it sounds like you had success within the city itself.
We did.
Outside this neighborhood.
Correct. When we look at the metrics, you know, even for this event in particular, we look at injuries, we look at total number of arrests. Those things were manageable. Not only was St. Friday's Day going on this Saturday morning, we had the whole rest of the city that was celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Our bars open at 6 a.m. and we have lots of visitors into the community. All of those metrics were very, very positive as well, with no major incidents.
Maybe we could close the bars, though, until like 8 a.m. I don't know. I want it quiet. All right. We got a lot of calls. Let's start with Alan in San Luis. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Dave. Got one question for the chief and one for the mayor.
Start with the chief.
Very good. I know you do the citations and some arrests. I guess to me the question is, where do you draw the line? Is it they've done damage, or where? How does that work?
Great question. So most all of the arrests were related to alcohol type activity. And so if the person cannot care for themselves, if they're a danger to others, they will come with us. Obviously, there were a lot of people there, so our goal is to not make as many arrests as possible. We issued a lot of citations, so we need to make sure that those that we contact that are not in control of their own faculties will have to come with us to ensure their safety.
Yeah, kind of a follow-up on that, and I mentioned this the last time this was on Dave's show. It'd be nice to get some of them literally thrown, I would say, into the drunk tank, as they used to call it, just so there would be a reality check. Yeah, they wake up in the morning going, I really did that?
Did you arrest anybody for intoxication, or did you just get a citation?
We made several arrests for intoxication, yes.
Okay. Alan, what's your question for the mayor?
Okay. I'm looking at the houses and responsibility of the owners. I know they were saying many of those so-called sororities, fraternities are not sanctioned anyway, but I want to see more fines, more enforcement, even I don't care where the owner lives, so that they will take a stronger hand on the people who are using their homes.
Let me elaborate on that, Mayor, because in the calls from previous segments, people have called in and complained about the so-called satellite fraternities.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. As far as what we can or cannot charge a person, I would have to connect with our community development director and our attorney just to make sure, you know, before I answer that today. But I do think that I know that the chief has been involved in the past of those fines do get passed on to the owners of the homes. I think what you may be talking about is homes that are owned by a fraternity or sorority, and if that's the case,
yes,
that might be a different question. Is that what you're asking?
No, anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter who owns it. If their house is being used for parties, the owner should still be held responsible for any damage that occurs.
Yeah.
And we do.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And I think, Chief, some of that already happens. Is that correct?
Chief?
Correct. Those fines do get passed on to the owner of the property, and often they'll exact that from the tenants.
Does that seem to work?
It does. They're typically very responsive. And the one thing I do want to contrast this year versus last year, many, if not all, of the fraternity houses that front Hathaway did not have events. They were not supporting the street gathering.
Alan, thanks for the call. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Carolyn's in San Luis. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for having this show today.
Sure.
I'm looking at the City of San Luis and Cal Poly St. Patrick's Day advanced preparation and outreach for this event on 2024. And one of the things, when they say that Cal Poly doesn't sanction this event, Cal Poly, for several years now, has provided what they call party safe boxes, and various organizations do that. And included in them are snacks, granola bars, IV fluids, Narcan, fentanyl education, condoms, a lot of things. And I understand the idea was to keep them safe, but I think by providing these kinds of things, as well as burritos for breakfast and stuff at a stand that Cal Poly provides on campus, it just sends a bad message that they're saying, okay, you can come and party, but let's just be safe. Well, you know, when you have 7,000 people, you know, trying to just be safe by providing them with all this is just not going to work eventually, and well, it's just going to get bigger.
Hang on, Carolyn. Hang on. I promise I'll come back to you. Mayor, you want to take that question? Mayor?
Say again?
You want to respond to Carolyn's concern about providing these care packages to the students?
Sure, I can. I mean, I think that I hear what she's saying in the realm of not wanting to encourage people to party. And I also think as trying to stop people from dying is really important also. And so I think, you know, I used to work for Campus Health and Wellbeing, and I used to see what the Wellbeing Department would do with the students that would come in from the peer the peer health group Pulse, and they were looking at students dying of overdoses of alcohol. And so there is a balance of not wanting this terrible behavior to happen and not wanting death. So I think, you know, there is a point.
Chief, from a law enforcement perspective, what about the care packages?
You know, and I agree, because we approach this from a least harm perspective. We want people to be safe. And if you're going to make poor decisions, we still want you to be safe. And we saw, you know, out of this incident, we had 30 medical calls related to overconsumption of alcohol.
Carolyn, what else?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of death if you're encouraging students to come to these parties. I think there's other ways you can control that message, but it just presents a bad message that Cal Poly is actually encouraging this behavior and telling them to come and eat the burritos and get the party boxes. And I just think it's a very bad message to send. And I definitely would not count on making this an better event by just telling students not to come. I don't think that's going to work.
All right, Carolyn, thanks for the call. I assume, though, Chief, you're planning on more than just saying don't come.
Absolutely. I mean, so there'll be a whole operational plan built around that as well to ensure that we have the event, the messaging correct.
By the way, on the Stolberg line, a listener would like you to define what you mean by mutual aid.
So mutual aid is we can call out to any other agency, any other law enforcement agency. We need help. There's something out, you know, beyond our capacity to control, and we can request officers from another department to come and assist us.
All right. We have Susan joining us on KVEC. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I have two questions. One okay. for the police chief. I missed the first part. What is the cost of the fines for intoxication, number one? And then just in general, there was a letter to the editor that was published in the Tribune, and one of the suggestions was, why can't Why don't we go the opposite way and Cal Poly sponsor an event on the campus where that would be structured and it would be within with rules and in a confined capacity?
All right, we'll talk about that. Susan, thanks for the call. Chief, let me start with you. How much were the fines?
So the fines range, and again, we're in the safety enhancement zone, so it falls within that time period. Fines are double. They range from $700 to $1,000 per citation.
Hmm. And then, Mayor, what about the idea that Cal Poly should step up and offer some kind of counter event, although I'm not quite sure what that would be?
I would love to see that happen. I think it would really help in the realm of not saying that this is not our event on a constant basis into the city, because it's not their event technically, but if they actually are having an event on campus that would get students to come there, that would be great. But I also am a realist, and if students are trying to go and drink at 3 in the morning or 3:17 in the morning, they're not going to have a drinking event on campus for people. So how does that work? I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Chief?
Agree. We have to try something different.
All right. We got a couple Jeffs calling in. Here's Jeff number one. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Chief. How you doing? I wanted to do a shout out. I actually think that the police department did a really good job because nobody got hurt and it was contained. And I think there's some frustration about the fact that the university really has an opportunity here to keep a control on this. If instead of worrying about having to pour out alcohol, if the officers and the campus police were asking every kid that was there for their ID and taking a picture of them and that and turning it back to the campus by putting out, a memo from the president that this is not acceptable activity from the students, it might discourage them from participating due to potential academic or financial aid consequences. Mm-hmm. Number two, by having it that off campus and not as something where you make it a non-alcohol student event where you can control entry and celebrate St. Patty's Day or whatever in a controllable, acceptable way, it ends up being out in the public, and so the school's problem becomes the community's problem. And here, unfortunately for the Slow PD, it started after Farmers Market night on Thursday, where people were coming down early and they're, essentially camping out like before a concert, and it's a problem. I know that most of the students that I know were not happy about it, especially the ones in the area, because they don't want to have a reputation as being a big party town school. But then you have the people that are inviting, three or four friends from out of town to go to sleep at their house.
Yep.
So
it's Mardi Gras all over again. Jeff, thanks for checking in. Chief, you start, please.
And thank you, Jeff. I appreciate the supportive comment. And I do agree. I think that, again, as we talked about early in the conversation, this has to come from the students, that this is not an event that's supported. We don't want visitors here over this weekend. And we had some conversations early on making parallels to Mardi Gras as well as Poly Royal. And if this continues at the trajectory it has continued, it will go the same direction as those notable events.
Anything you want to say in response, Mayor?
I absolutely agree. I think when it was Poly Royal, it was shut down instantaneously that next year, and there was a lot of work. I happened to be on student government at that time. There was a lot of work where we worked with all of the different clubs, and we worked with the university administration to be able to slowly come back together with something that was positive from the students to create what Open House is now. And it's bigger and better than it was then, for that matter. So I really think that it's going to take the university to be proactive in this.
All right, here's Jeff number two. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, how are you folks today?
Never better.
Number one, I'd like to thank both Madam Mayor Stewart and Chief Scott for serving our community. And what you folks are doing right now, Chief, Mayor, you are actually taking the responsibility and you're speaking on behalf of the council and the city and what have you. I think that shows a lot of character. And
thank you.
What you said earlier, Chief, is really important, I think, here. And not a lot is said about this.
Well, so what did he say?
And he mentioned that this is not a slow PD type of problem, and he's absolutely right. This is Cal Poly problem and the city of SLO. And the city manager, Derek Johnson, who's getting ready to depart, why is his name not talked about, and why is no one saying anything? This is his responsibility.
Because he's leaving.
He could have stopped this.
He's leaving. He's leaving.
And the new city manager that takes that place will have that responsibility, but he has had that responsibility.
Okay. I'm not here, Jeff. I know you got a thing for Derek Johnson, but not tonight. This is too important. Thank you. But having said that, Mayor, will you be speaking to the new city manager about this kind of issue and what you expect the city manager to do?
Of course. I mean, the city manager has been very involved in the entire process, I will say, with our student community liaison committee and other meetings with President Armstrong and Vice President Humphrey and Dean of Students Joy Peterson as well, has been involved in all of that. I will say, of course, our incoming city manager, whoever that will be very involved with all of the different events that happen with Cal Poly. I mean, Cal Poly is a good partner on average with the city, and so we continue to work with them to do a better and better job at being good partners.
All right, I've got a lot of people calling in, but I'm giving preference to the folks who actually live in San Luis, if you don't mind. So we go to Kathy on KVEC. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Rick, Chief Scott, and Mayor Stewart.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, we live kind of ground zero. We're on Frederick Street. And a couple of things. One thing I wanted to say was regarding the overnight guests on Cal Poly, just to touch on that. According to the outreach preparation that was sent out to SCLC and between the city and Cal Poly, it does say that there were no overnight guests allowed on campus from Thursday to Monday. That's just a note I wanted to make. And also, as far as the fraternities not participating, part of the reason for that is because some of those fraternities that are the worst offenders receive notices of violation for illegally operating as a fraternity in the city limits just a week before the St. Fratty's Day event. So they do not want to be on the radar.
Chief?
So just to give context to that. But my main point...
I'll come back to you, Kathy, I promise. Is she right?
Absolutely. And thank you, Kathy, for your comments. And we have worked very closely with the neighborhood trying to make what changes we can. But we've also put them on notice for the violations exactly that she is mentioning.
What else, Kathy?
Okay, the main point that I wanted to make is that, the chief said that the roads were closed at 6 in the morning, and that's true. They were closed. Our street was closed. But they were closed to vehicles, not to the people. And we watched hundreds and hundreds of people use our street as a promenade in parades down to the main party. So the police stood by as the parades of people went to the party. The vehicles couldn't pass, but the people could.
So, Kathy, what do you want to see happen? You live in the neighborhood. What do you want the city to do?
Well, last year I went to city council and asked them to put in the safety enhancement zone, which I'm thankful they did this year, and I asked them to shut it down. I mean, it's really unfair to the residents who live here long term to have to endure this year after year.
Chief?
Yeah, exactly. And Kathy's point is well taken. Part of the strategy to close the street, one, is to deter as much foot traffic as possible, which we did have some success, although, you see the numbers. The other part is we cannot have a car come through that area and strike the people that have entered the street. And that would be the worst case scenario.
All right, Kathy, thank you. Let me get to Sandy in San Luis. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I heard mention a couple of times about a team being put together to include the city, Cal Poly, students, but I did not hear any reference to residents being a part of that team, and I would like to push for that.
Mayor, what about that?
And also to know why not.
Yeah. Mayor, what about including the residents?
Oh, I definitely think that residents should be involved when we get to that point. That's why we have the Student Community Liaison Committee, and residents are actually part of that Student Community Liaison Committee. It's quite a mouthful, as Sandy knows. So there definitely will be residents involved. I think at this point, with the conversation as far as what happens next, as far as the students and the administration, that's where they have, that's their purview. So that's the conversation that we're talking about right now.
Sandy, what else?
Just to push for residents now, not later, not when it's convenient, but when things are actually being put into place, discussed, and considered.
Let's see what the chief says.
Agreed 100%. And thank you, Sandy, for calling in. Residents for Quality Neighborhoods, we actually partnered with them for this year's plan, gained input, which helped inform our strategy. They've been a great partner all along and will continue in this process.
Sandy, thank you. Ron, can you make it quick?
Yeah, I will. I moved up here years ago from Seal Beach, and we had two Irish bars there, and St. Patrick's Day one year was absolutely terrible. They climbed on cars and everything. The next year, they closed the bars at 5 o'clock in the evening, and the police were all over the place. My suggestion is try and have something like that, or do what Florida did, where they put a curfew down in some of the cities. And so all those kids that couldn't party there, they went elsewhere.
Let's get a response. Ron, thank you. Chief, how about a curfew?
You know, and I opened up with, you know, my philosophy is, as far as least harm approaches. You know, we continue to modify our approach to make sure that we're doing the least harm possible and to prevent injury and damage to our community. So could curfews be in the mix in the future? Possibly, but that's a big step to take.
Mayor, what about a curfew?
I mean, I'm definitely open as we're talking about what are the options, what makes it work best for everyone. That's definitely an option. And I just wanted to hit back to the SCLC residents as the chief mentioned. RQN has been a big part of that strategy, and RQN and residents in the community are part of the Student Community Liaison Committee now, so they are part of the conversation now. We're not waiting till a magical time later, just so you know that.
Fair enough. Final thoughts as we continue. I'm Dave Congleton. We thank Mayor Stewart and Chief Scott for joining us. Mayor, I got about 30 seconds for a final thought.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us. I just, you know, I want you to know that we are taking this very seriously. We were so disappointed. I was so disappointed in seeing how St. Patrick's Day / St. Friday's Day worked out. And we'll be working closely with Cal Poly, with the students, with the residents, and with the businesses for that matter as well. When we talk about the bars and restaurants and what does it look like going forward, we're willing to be creative and try to make sure we have a community event, a community where people can feel free of this type of behavior.
All right, Mayor, thank you. Chief.
Yeah, and just to echo, you know, a bit what the mayor said, and my message, Slo PD's message to the community is unchanged from my council report is, you know, we want people to enjoy our beautiful community. We want you to, you know, spend your tax money, spend your money here. We enjoy that. But be safe and don't come to our community with the intent on causing harm or to damage our community.
Thank you both. Off we go. News, traffic, weather. I'm Dave Congleton. The 6 o'clock hour starts now.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.